We have a person that's going to give a 10-minute talk for us tonight, and I just want to share that when I first met this individual, she always had a smile on her face, always always fun. So without any further ado, Diane, please come on up. Let's give her a round.
All right. I am an alcoholic, and my name is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
And I am just going to start from the beginning, which is way, way longer than any of you probably have ever even been on this earth. I grew up down south, Orange County, Santa Ana, Newport Beach, around there. And my parents did not drink. They didn't argue. They didn't yell. There was no... I thought everybody lived like that. I thought everybody lived that way. The only thing was my mom did have migraines. And back in the day, they had nothing other than pain pills and stuff like that. And she would have those in the cabinet. So I was about 12 or 13. And it's part of my story. That's just how it got started. That I started taking those every now and then because made me feel good, and why not? Nobody ever said I couldn't. Of course, I never asked if I could. They just, you know. again, no drinking or anything like that. And that went on, you know. Then I was 18 in May, graduated high school in June, and got married in July. Now, understand, I thought everybody lived the way we did. Okay? Well, I was married maybe 20 minutes, and that's when I realized that wasn't the case. My ex-husband was an alcoholic, rest his soul. He died from this disease about 4 years ago, a year older than me only. And I swore I would never drink because I was not going to be like him. And the whole time we were married, 15 years, I never did. But that's when, back in the day when they had all kinds of other pills and whatever, and I always got them from a doctor, so I figured that was okay. Well, I got to tell you, I don't think I was divorced more than 10 minutes, and that's when I started drinking. And I lived in Newport Beach, and I worked in Brea, so it was kind of a long drive. And there was a bar right around the corner from where I worked, and I would get off like at 3:30 and go and drink a couple of pitchers before anybody else got off at 5, you know. And that was great. People have asked me before, you know, how much was a glass of beer back in your day? Well, how would I know? I never bought a glass. I only drank pitchers. I would have no idea what a glass was because I never, ever. The one thing I didn't do, though, was I never mixed. I knew I couldn't do that. That's another thing. I never wanted to die either. I had my kids, and I thought everything was fine. Well, even back in the day, before the word intervention was ever invented, my daughter and my mom came to me one time when my daughter went to UCSB, and she was home from college and couldn't wake me up, and got scared, called my mom. And that's the first time I went into recovery, so that I got... Well, no, that's that time I went into recovery, and I got sober in Santa Ana, Orange County, September 1984. It was good. It's just that I'm the kind of person that can give my definition to just about anything to fit the way I want it to be. So when I call myself sober, that means I'm not drinking. And that means no matter what else I do, I'm still not drinking, so I'm sober, and that makes it okay. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, me. Like I said, I can give my definition to just about anything and have it come out the way I want it to fit me. I realized, I moved up here in 2002. I have, from the time I got sober, I have never not gone to meetings on a regular basis. And again, I can only speak for me and no one else. Because when I hear people say meeting makers make it, well, to me, no. I could go to 4 meetings every day for a year. And if I don't listen and if I don't do the work and take the action, it's not going to matter how many meetings I go to. It's not going to matter how much I think I'm being of service. That if I am not living this program, if I am not being of real service in this fellowship, to me, again, it doesn't make any sense. I just know that today, it took, it took an awfully, not that I'm stubborn. I'm determined to try again to do things my way. Well, it's obvious that, you know, and I keep hearing it, you know, when I have me for a sponsor, that's really stupid. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. So I finally had to get honest. You know, that was the hardest thing in the world for me, was to get honest with me. For me to get out of my own way. And to this day, it's still the same. And I want to tell you, too, that there was a time when I would come in here and I would say what I thought you wanted to hear. I would say what I thought sounded good. Today I realize I can't do that. We're back again to being honest with me. I can be a lot of things, but a hypocrite I don't want to be. And I will tell you that when it says a God of our understanding, that for me, I take that very literally, because that for me is, and again, I'm only speaking for me. It's G-O-D, that's a group of drunks. That is this fellowship in each and every one of you is my higher power. It's like that, I may not agree with you, but I absolutely respect your right to believe that way. I would defend to the death your right to say what you believed in. And I have yet to find anybody who has, you know, looked at me sideways, for that reason anyway, a lot of other reasons, but not that one. And it works for me. Again, if I live these steps and take the action, and it hasn't been that long ago, in considering in all the years that I've been around, that I got a sponsor that truly understands me. She understands me better than I understand myself, and that just about kills me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, she can say to me something that I'm about to say, and it's like, oh, whoa. But the one thing she has never done and will never do is tell me what to do. And damn, you know, that really makes me mad, because if she told me what to do, I could say, well, no, I'm not doing that. But no, she doesn't do that. It's like she will tell me what she did for her sobriety, and it's sobriety that I totally respect. I just know I don't ever want to go back out there again. I know that. You know, I'm love and tolerance, I know, is our code, and I truly live by that most of the time. There is one thing that I will not, that I can't tolerate, and that's disrespect. And those of you that know me have heard this 100 times probably, but there are 3 things that you do not do. You do not disrespect me. You don't disrespect the man I love and my family. And you do not disrespect my ball club. I will talk baseball with anybody. I know baseball. But you're not going to trash mine, and I won't trash yours. You know what I'm saying? That's respect. I say this every time, too. I don't know where I'd be today without this fellowship, but I know where I wouldn't be. And I wouldn't be standing here today, tonight, in front of each and every one of you. And I always know, too, it's like I said, you or you individually know, you can't keep me sober. As a fellowship, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what works for me. And of course, I can only speak for me. I like to speak for others if I can. My life today, and this is just a little side issue here, that for, oh gosh, 25 years, I had the fellowship, I had my grandkids, I was fine. I wasn't anybody that ever needed, okay, I never was willing to settle for anything. And lo and behold, in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, well, guess what? I met the man of my dreams. The soulmate that I have. And I know that without this fellowship, there would have been no way. There's just, you know, I have him in my life, I have the fellowship, I have my grandkids, I have my daughter who at one point in time, she just flat out didn't like me, let's put it that way. But today it's, I honestly have everything I want. I have everything I want today. And I know that if I do not continue on this path, that I won't lose anything. I will flat out, I'll be giving it away. You know what I'm saying? I will be giving it away because I know exactly what will happen. I know what will happen. And yet my mind will still go, well, oh, here, yeah, but. Well, yeah, but. That's what my dad used to call me, the yeah, but kid. Well, yeah, and I still do it and don't even know it. And then he laughs at me and thinks that's funny. Well, I don't even know. But I just know, what I do know is that I can look around and I can physically see what I have today. Spiritually, and to me, spirituality and religion are spiritual. I just want to thank Derek for asking us to speak tonight. And I don't cry. I am not a crier. There's no crying in baseball. You know what I'm saying? But there are times when there are things that really get to my heart. And my life today is just that. So thank you so much for being here.
Give Diane another round of applause.
All right, so we have another special person that's going to come up and read the 12 traditions.